Chapter 8. Allison June Parker. Trace's self-satisfied glow had dissipated to a weak glimmer by the time they pulled into the parking lot of Trevex D. The four-story brick building hovered ominously over him like his angry father used to do, trying to intimidate him with its bulk. During the short ride back to Trevex, the general mirth in the car had quickly faded, Cassandra's mood souring as she catalogued the different forms Ramus would shove down their throats the minute he found out what Trace had done. Even the supportive Goldbow turned sober. Priscilla, the only completely innocent one of the group, hummed unconcernedly as she embroidered. Goldbow killed the engine and pulled out the keys. "Cassandra, let's hit the range together after." Cassandra cut short his request by stepping out and slamming the door. Then Trace understood. These two had not just been partners in the field. Cassandra and Goldbow had been a couple. Was that why she'd quit the Ash Angels? Because of something Goldbow did? Priscilla shook her head at the emotionally overwrought pair, lips turned up in an amused, elderly smile. Trace thought of asking Goldbow about their history, but the Michael bailed out in a huff, the car rocking as he slammed the door shut. Goldbow paced for a minute with his hands behind his head and then leaned against the Taurus, gaze pegged to the distance. Priscilla tisked and put her angel away. Setting aside the Cassandra puzzle, Trace dredged up his will to face unknown consequences. If they tried to treat him like some sort of idiot child, he thought he might just walk out of the AAO. He breathed in just so he could express the lack of enthusiasm with a depressed exhale as he got out of the car. He had caused problems for his superior, and anyone in the military knew that making trouble for a superior was stupid. What had taken a hold of him outside the Preston's house? As he trailed Cassandra toward the building, he wasn't sure if he felt bad about his vigilante heroics because he had broken the rules of the Ash Angel organization or because he had done something morally wrong. He jogged to catch up to his long striding trainer, who yanked open the glass doors without a look back. Goldbow and Priscilla followed slowly several yards behind. "Look, Cassandra, I didn't want this to end in a lecture from Ramus. How is this going to go down? Do you have to report what happened?" She threw up her hands. "Of course I have to report what happened. All of us will fill out a 155 TER, the training evaluation report, which we would have done even if you had been a good little boy and let me call the cops. That report will go up to Ramus. Depending on his availability, he will read them within a few hours to a few days. When he does, rest assured you and I will be getting an angry phone call from Athena, if not Ramus himself. Then the laughter will disappear, and the forms will multiply like rabbits, and I mean ugly, mean kind of rabbits. So enjoy yourself today. You and your ego are about to get ripped a new one. Probably right after I get ripped a new one." She headed for the women's locker room at a blistering pace.
"Well, it was fun while it lasted," Trace called after her. "And you won't be training with me tonight," she yelled back. "So just hang out with the rest of the cherubs."
Trace glanced up as the classroom door squeaked open and Athena entered with her ever-present clipboard. She had ditched her older motherly looks for a severe female executive vibe in a black pantsuit, sharp glasses, and pulled back black hair. Their instructor, Ganymede, stopped her dry lecture on the international operations and reach of the Ash Angel organization while Athena whispered to her. It was 1:10 a.m. the morning after his ride-along. Trace exhaled and leaned back. The interview with Ramus had arrived. Athena turned toward the class and with a disapproving scowl singled him out, beckoning with her finger. He felt like a kid called to the principal's office despite having morphed back to adult size. This was ridiculous. He wasn't going to let himself be treated like a child.
"Good luck, Trace,"
Priscilla offered as he stood and walked out to a great deal of whispering. The story of his adventure had spread throughout the cherubs and the staff almost instantaneously, probably thanks to Priscilla, who showed an adeptness for gleaning and nurturing the gossip grapevine. Oddly, what had worried and gnawed at Trace's conscience for hours had turned him into a folk hero. Even the instructors who knew he was going to get busted smiled at him when he passed. He tried to keep his head from inflating,
A giant pin in the form of Archon Ramus awaited. He seemed like the type that would take pleasure in popping any self-inflation from an upstart cherub. The decidedly cold Athena had nothing more than "follow me" to say as they navigated beneath the rectangular fluorescent lights to the elevator that would take them underground to the offices he had heard about, but never seen. A special key was required, and after Athena had inserted it and punched the well-worn U button, she turned to her clipboard and scribbled some notes on a form. Every once in a while, she would glance at him and write more. Was she noting how repentant he looked? The doors slid open. A fuming Cassandra, dressed as formally as Athena, waited to get on. Trace thought about saying hello, but she refused to make eye contact with him as he and Athena exited. The elevator swallowed his trainer. Athena shook her head and frantically wrote on her clipboard while mindlessly walking the hallways of the underground center. Unlike the utilitarian cinder block and bland tile building above them, the offices of the administrators and bureaucrats were modern and well-appointed. A plush plum carpet graced their feet as they passed tan walls decorated with famous art pieces in the classical style. Mellow piano music filled the entire area from in-ceiling speakers, and recessed vaults held larger pieces of art and various artifacts. Trace felt out of place. Everything about the Ash Angels had seemed so gritty and outdated. Clearly, there was another side he had missed, and he wondered how many Ash Angels worked in environments like this. Did the instructors have offices down here, too? Athena led him to a finely appointed lobby with leather couches, a glass coffee table, and a rack full of procedural training manuals.
"Wait here, Trace," Athena ordered sternly. "The Archon will be with you shortly."
She retired to her office and shut the door, undoubtedly to let Ramus know the unruly child had arrived. Too antsy to sit, Trace wandered around the room, staring at the fake plants and tasteful office art. Expectedly, Ramus made him wait, and Trace passed the time thumbing through a computer security guidelines manual. Finally, Athena exited her office.
"The Archon will see you now," she informed him, leading him to a more finely appointed door with a substantial golden plaque that read, "Archon Ramus."
She opened the door.
"Trace Evans is here to see you as requested, Archon."
"Thank you, Athena. Hold any calls lower than priority 3. She stepped aside, drilling him with a glare worthy of an angry mother. Trace glared right back and passed inside. Archon Ramus's office was a narrow oval with a single recessed dome light in the center. Accent lights artistically illuminated darkly stained shelves built into the walls. The old leather-bound books and small gold and silver statuettes on the shelves added to an affluent decor Trace had not expected. Directly behind Ramus, a floor-to-ceiling wall painting depicted a glowing female angel in a white robe crushing a dragon's head beneath her heel. It added a religious air to the room. The Archon sat at his desk in the king of all office chairs, sporting a host of adjustable knobs and levers. He looked and dressed as he always had, but now wore a dark suit coat. His deliberately added age and slightly graying temples projected a wizened, older look, though for this occasion he had grown a close-cropped beard that put Trace in mind of a seasoned Navy admiral. Athena shut the door as she left, and Trace waited while the Archon perused a document. The desk was of the same stained wood as the shelves, and topped with a glass slab an inch thick to handle the touchscreen interface. Just as Trace started to feel annoyed at the stalling tactics, the Archon glanced up. "Have a seat, Trace," he said, closing out the documents. "Look," Trace said, lowering himself into the dark leather chair. "Everything that happened was my fault. Don't go hard on Cassandra. I can be stubborn, and I went against her orders." The Archon's blue eyes didn't blink or register any sort of comprehension. Expressionless, Ramus nodded, stood, and began to pace about the room. From the shelf, he picked up a small golden figurine and resumed his walk. "Look, Trace, we've seen this kind of thing before with cherubs. You have all these new abilities. You think you're invincible. You think you can finally make a difference. You think you can be a law unto yourself and everything will work out. Yes, Cherub, we've had our share of renegade vigilantes come through here. I'm not really going to address that with you directly. I've spoken with Cassandra, and I'll leave it to her to teach you why we have structure, procedure, and accountability here.
Can I go, then? Trace asked, knowing what the answer would be.
Ramus briefly regarded the statuette he had picked up.
The bureaucratic, vapid expression had vanished, and an emotion, turmoil, replaced it.
A thorn pricked Ramus's mind, some disclosure he wanted to deal with delicately. Perhaps it was all an act, but to Trace he appeared sincere.
Ramus returned to his seat and put the statuette in the middle of the glass desk, facing Trace.
Trace inspected it. Standing about 8 inches high, the statuette depicted a woman in street clothes with a long coat, open to show a blouse. A detective badge was clipped to the belt, and the unmistakable face, hard and pretty, evidenced that this statue was the likeness of Cassandra. Trace remembered Priscilla's gossip. Ramus had a particular interest in Cassandra. Possessing a statue of her certainly lent credibility to that report.
You know who that is? Ramus asked.
Cassandra. No, he replied. That is Allison June Parker, the woman who became the Ash Angel Cassandra. In our parlance, I am her father. She was the last one I performed the awakening ritual on before I became the supervisor of this training facility. It was my custom to create a statuette like this for every one of my children. I gave these to them to help them remember that it was because of who they were in life that they are who they are now. Do you know what Cassandra did when I tried to give this to her?
Gave it back, apparently.
Exactly. And that, Trace Evans, should tell you everything you need to know about Cassandra. He retrieved the statue and stood, returning it to its place on the shelf, angling it so it faced precisely toward his desk. Cassandra's life before and after death has not been easy. Perhaps you've noticed that she can be a bit abrasive from time to time.
Like all the time.
Yes. She's not always been that way. She's tough and direct, but certain events have precipitated a bit of a downturn in her social aspect of late.
Why did she quit the Ash Angels?
Goldbow, right? The question brought the pacing Archon up short, his face turning sour.
That is none of your business, and you would do well not to inquire about it. It was unfortunate, and the rumors that followed even more so. I will not have her slandered. Do you understand me clearly?
Yes, sir, Trace said. Cassandra's recent history seemed littered with landmines he was adept at stepping on. But people like Ramus and Goldbow still cared for Cassandra, tried to protect her however she acted. Clearly she had friends. Trace remembered the night he'd found out about Teresa and Simon. Who would have stuck up for him had he lived?
The Archon's face smoothed over with forced control. Let me be brief. We need you, especially after the Blank Massacre. But we need Cassandra more. You make her miserable, and I will make you miserable. Clear?
Crystal.
Good.
He sat and tapped a virtual keypad on his glassy desk. Athena?
Yes, Archon, she answered.
Bring Trace a 155 TER, a 414 HA, and a 19 DAC. I sent the DAC action text to you earlier. He can fill them out in the lobby.
I have the forms ready.
Thank you. The Archon leaned back and regarded him with the same vacant expression as before, not speaking until Athena cracked the door. Fill out the forms and remember what I said. You'll have an active mission evaluation in 2 to 4 weeks, or whenever Cassandra thinks you're ready. I don't want to hear any more reports about you before then, and I want only glowing reports after. Dismissed. Trace rose and collected the clipboard from Athena, who smiled at him encouragingly, but not altogether sincerely. No doubt one of the procedural manuals in the lobby was how to deal with recently reprimanded Ash Angels. He plunked himself down in a cushy leather chair. 155 TER, the Training Evaluation Report. 414 HA, Normal Human Interaction Result Report. 19 DAC, Disciplinary Action Contract. The latter had a pile of legalese with a paragraph inserted, the action text the Archon had alluded to earlier. While his promise to Ramus was to not make Cassandra miserable, the text read, "I, Trace Evans, hereby commit to render full compliance to staff, trainers, and leaders of the Ash Angel organization, recognizing that my past actions may have, in full or in part, compromised, endangered, or rendered less efficient the goals, operation, and success of said organization. I furthermore commit to render complete obedience to my trainer Cassandra and to any future trainers, team leaders, and other superiors in whose tutelage or governance I find myself." Teresa would have made short work of all the legal nonsense. She used to bring home sheets of long paper full of jargon and convoluted sentences and go through them at the kitchen table. The memory stung. He shook his head to clear it. There was a place for a signature and date. What could they do if he refused to sign? What if he broke the contract? Would they sue him? Send him to some Ash Angel prison? Boot him out of the organization? The document in front of him sweetened the notion of living life as a freelance Ash Angel. When the first bliss of dawn had filled him and Lear had brought him to train at Trevex, he thought it would be more like church and grandma's house and less like a corporate military complex. But he wanted to be involved. Like Ramus had said, he wanted to make a difference. Trace screwed up his determination. He would not be a failure. Lifting the clipboard, he dove in. The 414 HA report was really the same as the 155 TER, forcing him to record every detail of the mission, except the 414 asked him to speculate on how his actions would help the humans with whom he interacted to reject evil and live more productively and uprightly. Trace felt a stab of guilt. His aim wasn't to help the miscreants at all. He wanted to punish them, and memorably. However, by making their lives miserable, perhaps the two men might reconsider their life of crime and strive not to run afoul of the law or a crazy lady and her kid again. He scribbled something to that effect as fast as he could, doubting anyone would even read it. 2 hours later, he entered Athena's office to return the clipboard. She took it and assumed her motherly persona. "Now you stay out of trouble, young man," she encouraged with a wink. Trace gave her a thumbs up and left. Cassandra, Ramus, and Goldbow. A mystery was hidden somewhere in their interpersonal hurricane, but Trace wondered if the best bet was simply to do the yes ma'am, no ma'am routine until he could get assigned to someone a little less troubled than the acerbic Cassandra. At the very least, he would try to avoid getting a gun barrel pointed at his head.